If you'd like to follow along, you can turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Our passage this evening is found there on the front of the bulletin, 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2 says this: "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of everyone, and the living will lay it to heart." Read it one more time. "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of everyone, and the living will lay it to heart." I have the opportunity to speak at different events, different occasions. The event that I am listened to probably the least is honestly at a wedding, because the husband and wife are focused on one another and everyone else is focused on them. And so I'm speaking, but oftentimes no one is listening. And the time whenever people are listening the most is always at a funeral. And I believe it's because there's a great truth here found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, that we all know that it's what meets us at the end is death. And so you'll have people's attention when you're talking about, when you are entering into a house of mourning. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for it is at the end of everyone. It's the end of you. It's at the end of me. And the living will lay it to heart. There is an interesting passage here this evening that we're going to look at. And what I want you to recognize is that all that we've just sung about, all that we've just listened to, the scriptures being read and all of these things, that we have here the climax of the entire redemptive story. Everything that the Bible has pointed to up to that point and everything that it will point back to, we are at the climax. All right, Jesus being nailed to a cross. And so this evening, as we consider those things, I pray that it would be, in many ways, a house of mourning for us. We're able to ponder these things. And we're going to ask another question this evening on Sunday. Those who were here, we had some snow, so many couldn't make it. But those who were here, we looked at a question of palms or chains. So it's Palm Sunday, and basically the idea was this, that there's such thing as being kind of a Palm Sunday-only Christian, which means that as long as Jesus is riding in on a victory, you know, in this way that's victorious, in the way that goes in line with your own kingdom, that you will wave your palm branch. But as soon as he does something that's outside of your kingdom, outside of what you expect him or want him to do, then all of a sudden we turn on him. And you see this with the crowds that were at Palm Sunday. Many of the same, not all of them, but many of the same would have been here at the cross as well. And we talked about that and looked at that on Sunday. And so it was palms or chains. And we looked at Paul in his chains. Regardless of his circumstance, regardless of if things turn out like he thinks they should, here he is in prison. And so are we Palm Sunday only Christians, or are we also the ability to be Christians even if we are in chains? And so we asked that question last Sunday. And tonight we have another question, which is this: Is Jesus a legend, or is he Lord? Is he a legend, or is he Lord? And in the same way that we can be sometimes only Palm Sunday Christians, I think that in the same way we look at our culture, and oftentimes people look to Jesus as a Good Friday only type of person. We see him, we see that he goes to the cross, and we see that he dies, and then that's the end of Holy Week for a lot of people. That the power of the resurrection is left out. And so what Jesus becomes is not Lord, as we'll look at, but instead he becomes just a legend, a good man, a man, and maybe you've heard this from people in the culture, a man who had a lot of good teaching, who said a lot of neat things, who lived a good life, something that we're to try to strive to live up to, and that's who Jesus is, a good person. And he's a legend. So the question tonight is he a legend, or is he Lord? And we're going to ask the question as well from our passage here of what happens if there is no resurrection. What happens if Good Friday is it? It's a question that Paul is going to encourage us to ask even. What happens if Jesus' death is the final blow? What happens if there is no empty tomb? What happens if the retreat and the defeat of the disciples goes on, and after a while they become disbanded and they just go their own separate ways because now their teacher is dead? What happens if the curse goes unanswered? Sickness, suffering, and death continue with no hope of solving the dilemma. What happens if there is no resurrection? If there is no resurrection, Jesus is a legend. If there is, then we have something else, that he is Lord. Let me, for the sake of time this evening, read verse 19 and then pray for us. Verse 19 says this: if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, Lord, this chapter encourages us and leads us to ask a question that seems like a very controversial question. But Lord, it is one that Paul shows us in its entirety. What happens if there is no resurrection? If Good Friday is it? Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds this evening, this Good Friday, Lord, this time where we are reflecting upon the crucifixion of Jesus. Lord, we praise your name, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me read verses 12 through 19. I'll make a couple of stops along the way. It says this: now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So there's a teaching, they're teaching, they're proclaiming Christ is raised from the dead, but there are still some people who are believing that there is no resurrection of the dead. And so here's what Paul says: but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Christ is still in the grave if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if Christ is still in the grave, verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. All that we have, all that we believe, if it stops on Good Friday, everything that we have and know and preach and teach is in vain. And not only that, but we're found to be liars. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. He states this again, and now we're going to see this awful effect of what happens if this is true. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. There's no pardon for sin. There's no dealing with the curse if Christ is not raised. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Once you die, you're gone. That's it. It is a definite house of mourning. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. That if this is all there is, then we should be pitied the most, because we are putting everything, we're banking everything on this truth that Christ raised from the dead. And if he was not raised from the dead, then we should be pitied above all else. It is, I believe, a difficult passage that he gives us, a difficult thing for us to think about. I want us to ponder three events from the ministry of Jesus. Once again, trying to fall in line with what Paul encourages us to do here. If Christ has never been risen or never raised from the dead, what happens? You take things like Sermon on the Mount. What does the Sermon on the Mount become if there is no resurrection? There's lots of good teaching, lots of things to live by. And so you could imagine two people talking about it, you know, and they go walking down the road and they kind of stop and they see a tomb and there's the rock covering the tomb. And they say, you know, the guy that's in there, boy, he sure was a good teacher. Sure said a lot of neat things. He sure was, and then what would the word be? Sure was a legend. Sure was a legend. And so Jesus' teaching becomes something of a legend if he has not conquered death. And that would be the case. What about, you know, the wedding in Cana? They're walking by this time. two people who were at the wedding, they see his grave, it's right there. You know, man, it was amazing. We were there, and then we had all this water and this wine, and it was an amazing event. And so what happens to all the miracles of Jesus? If there is no resurrection, what happens to the miracles of Jesus? They're just tricks, right? They're just these things that a man could do, but he was just a legend because he couldn't perform the greatest feat, which was to come back from the dead. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead. What about raising of Lazarus? Now they're walking by again. You know, whatever happened to Jesus? Well, his grave is right there. He's an amazing man, did lots of things. He even was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. Well, where's Lazarus' grave? Well, it's right over there as well. Because what happens to Lazarus? One day, Jesus not raise him up in that miracle to live on forever and ever where we still see Lazarus around us today, right? What happened to Lazarus? One day, we don't know the full story, but probably one day he got older and he struggled in life, probably got sick, and one day was breathing his last. And if there is no resurrection, then Lazarus, like us, is to be pitied, and so Lazarus is struggling to keep that final breath. He does not want to let go of that final breath, because if there is no resurrection, there's nothing left, right? That's it. It is a sobering thing to think about, that if there is no resurrection, then Jesus is simply a legend. And he goes down with people, you know, like Davy Crockett and Annie Oakley and all these people, right? He's just a legend if there is no resurrection. But if Jesus was raised from the dead, then we have something different altogether, right? Now, everything that we looked at, all of those events from Jesus' life, everything changes. There's a huge difference because legends can't save you, right? Legends can inspire us. Legends can, you know, teach us, and we have these neat things, but legends cannot save us. Only one who is able to do that final feat, which is the resurrection, which now if he comes back from the resurrection, he's not a legend. What is he? He is Lord. He is Lord. He has done something that no one else can do. And the problem is that many of us, including myself, you know, we could check the Sunday school box that says, do you believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead? Right? Many of us know that. Many of us feel that. And yet what often happens is that on a personal level, that though we believe that, though we believe he is Lord, though we can check that in the knowledge category of our mind, what happens in a personal level when a family member gets sick? What happens when all of a sudden we come in the crosshairs of the disease and it takes us on? And all of a sudden what begins to happen is oftentimes we can live like Jesus is a legend again. And we lose that hope, we lose that sense, and it's like everything ended on Good Friday. What do we do when the boss says that our job isn't secure? Jesus is just a legend in our lives. What do we do? How do we respond? You know, our blood pressure can begin to mirror the stock market. And we have this awful sense. And we can check that box once again, but we live like he is simply a legend at times. If we learn that our child has a sickness or a disability, these devastating things that can come to us, and oftentimes we will respond in despair and anxiety. Because what happens is we fall back again on this idea that Jesus was simply a legend. But the passages that were read and the words of Jesus that were spoken earlier, we are given there not a picture of weakness. A lot of people see that. There are other religions that look at Christianity and see Jesus as being very weak because he went to the cross. And what we see in those passages is not something of weakness, but something of strength. I want to read a verse to you. This is from Jesus. What do you make? What do we make of this statement of Jesus? He says this in John chapter 10. For this reason, the Father loves me because I laid down my life. And listen to what he says. That I lay down my life that I may take it up again. His next phrase is this: no one takes it up, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. And listen to this power. Jesus is not being weak on the cross. Listen to what he says. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority, he says, to lay his life down, and I have authority to take it up. This is not weakness at all. This is not a legend, but this is our Lord. And when Jesus died on the cross for our sakes, he was not showing us, he was not showing weakness or frailty. When he took on the lashings and on the crown of, and the crown of thorns, he was a sovereign king through all of that. When nails pierced him, the creator of all things was showing his power. When he laid down his life, he was, is, and has always been Lord. He is not legend, but he is Lord. And the question for us is, why did he do it? Why did he lay down his life? And we just, that final song got to me. I want to read some of the lyrics again. It says this. It's how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. Who is it that put Jesus there? And it was us. All right, it was our sin that put Jesus on the cross. And there's this powerful phrase in there, and it's a powerful truth in general, and we heard the prayer itself. Why did Jesus do this? Why did God do this? And we have that final prayer that we have where Jesus is there and in great misery and pain. What does he say? He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And if you were to go back and you were to do a study of the prayers of Jesus, you would see one thing drastically different in that prayer from all of his other prayers. All of his other prayers, he takes the name Father. And here upon the cross, he takes this common name for God. My God, why have you forsaken me? And the reason he takes this name God, this common name for God, is so that you and I in Christ can go to God as Father. That in Christ we are his sons and that we are his daughters. This evening you might be looking to Jesus as a legend. Let me tell you, no legend can save you. If that's all he is, if all he is he died and he's still in some grave somewhere, if there is no resurrection, if you've either in your own heart have dismissed it, in your mind you've explained it away, maybe doctrinally you believe it, but in life you live out things differently, if there is no resurrection, if Jesus is just a legend, then you will be at a great difficulty at the end of your life when you're struggling with that final breath. Because if there is no resurrection, then there is no life, there is no hope. And remember once again this evening that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of everyone, and the living will lay it to heart. Our prayer is this, that as we continue to contemplate Jesus' death for us, his death for you, his death for me, that as we end wondering and looking forward to Sunday, what will happen? Will we see this resurrection? Verse 20 of the passage we've been looking at tonight, just a taste of what is to come for Sunday, says this. So time and time again, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, and then verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus is not legend. He is Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we believe that you are Lord. Lord, if there is anyone in here that looks to you as a legend, one who is here just to make our lives a little bit easier, one who lived a good life, one who we're supposed to model our lives after. Lord, if that is all you are in their eyes, Lord, would you convict their heart that they are looking to you simply as a legend? Lord, that you desire to be Lord of our lives. Lord, we thank you that you took on the crown of thorns, that you took on the nails, that you took on the lashings, you took on all of these things of the cross. Lord, we praise you that in not too long after that, Lord, that there is an empty tomb and that you are alive. You have conquered death. You have conquered the curse. You have conquered sin. You are victorious. And Lord, we thank you that you invite us to be your sons and daughters. And we pray this in the powerful and mighty name of the one who conquered all, in the name of Jesus. Amen.